Kof Tes Sivan, Tuesday the 12th of June, Rabbi Joseph Perlman. The significance of numbers in the Torah.
Right, Shalom Aleichem. The choice of this topic comes from the Sedra, because we have in this week's Sedra a word which has the largest gematria in the whole of Chumash. We know that the word Tistorer comes to 1500, and that set me thinking, let's talk about numbers and their significance. There is a longer word in Tanakh than this week's Sedra, and that is in Ezra. The word is Le'achashtastro, and there's a famous story about Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Zichrono Livracha. In those days, they didn't have computers, of course, and the Sforim were very, very expensive. And there weren't huge libraries, or there's no Osra Chochma. And one day, Rabbi Yosef Chaim was invited to go into the house of a wealthy man. And when he went in, he saw that there were a huge number of Sforim on the shelves. And he went in and he said, when he saw that, he said, "Ah, there's do Sforim Kamilian Le'achashtastero." And nobody knew what he was talking about. but that is the word which is the largest gematria in the whole of Tanakh. He was a bokeh in these things. So what's the significance of these matters? Well, obviously, something which is large tells you that the inyan around it is large. And something which is very small is the opposite. So you find, for example, that the longest posuk and the shortest posuk have a message to teach us. So, the longest word and the shortest word. The longest word in letters in Chumash is the Uva Misharo Secha, which has got 10 letters, and that's talking about the Tzfardim. The Tzfardim went to any length to do their mitzvah. They went into they had such Mesiris Nefesh that they, although the frogs are animals which are amphibious, but they can't stand the heat, and that's why they're called Tzfardim, because they know the difference. Tzafra Deo, they know when morning is, and as soon as it's morning, they'll go back into the river again. So the fact that these animals, or whatever you call reptiles, the fact that they went into the Tanurecho Uva Misharo Secho shows a tremendous Mesiris Nefesh, that they went into the hottest places completely against their nature. And in fact, the Gemara brings a Kal V'Chomer, which Hananya, Mishael, V'Azaria, they made the Kal V'Chomer. If the Tzfardim, who are not Mitzvim V'Osim in the same way as Yidna, went into the hottest places completely against their nature to mimikaim the word of Hashem, Kal V'Chomer, that we've got to do the same thing. And therefore we've got to be Mesir Nefesh and prepared to be put to death in the Kivshon Ha'esh in order not to do Avodah Zorah, etc. So we see that the longest word has a meaning. And similarly, you'll find the same situation regarding the shortest word. The shortest word would be Av or Bo, Beis Aleph, Aleph Beis. And Av is the fountain of life, and Bo is arriving at something. So that you see that the words and the psukim have a meaning. The smallest pasuk in Chumash, for example, is Uvnei Don Chushim. There are many pasukim with three words, but the Uvnei Don Chushim is the only one which has got that number of letters. I think it's 10 letters, and in Chumash, and that's teaching us a lesson that we know that Don started off as being a Shfifon or a Nochosh, right lowly person, but he got, he used his koiches to be mitzarif to the godly Yehuda, and eventually he became Don Gur Aryeh, which is the same as Gur Aryeh Yehuda, but it's not quite the same. Gur Aryeh Yehuda was born a Gur Aryeh. He was a powerful person by nature, but Don wasn't. Don was a little person. Don was a, just an ordinary person. The smallest name, if you look at the letters of, the, of Don, it's the smallest of the all of the Shvatim. And yet, he became, afterwards at the time, Moshe, a Gur Aryeh. So by looking at the position of words, you can get a message. We have Gur Aryeh Yehuda, but Don Gur Aryeh. Why? Because Yehuda was a Gur Aryeh when he was born, and Don only became a Gur Aryeh later. And therefore, the smallest pasuk in Chumash, Uvnei Don Chushim, is to teach us he started off as being, not only was he a small, insignificant person, the, his children was Chushim, the Chushim, is, the, he was lacked senses, he was deaf or whatever, he didn't have all his senses. So you see that Don started off in a small way. And similarly, if you look at the wording, lettering and psukim, you get a message from the psukim. There's another vort from Rabbi Yosachai Sonnenfeld in connection with the longest word, longest posuk in Chumash. Anybody know where the longest posuk in Chumash is? It's in Kisiso, thank you very much, where just before the ego, there's 34 words in that posuk. Right? It's not the longest posuk in letters, but it is the longest posuk in words. The longest posuk in letters is in Re'eh, and the longest posuk in words is in Kisiso. And the point of that, Rabbi Yisrochan Zon used to say, that a person who talks too much is likely to bring an ego. Sometimes you've got to shut up, sometimes you've got to be silent. You don't always, if you talk too much, you'll end up with an ego will follow. In fact, the story goes like this. What happened was that they were trying to appoint the first chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael many years ago, and they decided they weren't terribly interested in Yiddishkeit in the same way as maybe Yiddishkeit's the wrong word. They weren't interested in the right wing, and they decided that we're going to have 100 people voting for the chief rabbi, of which 33 would be balabatim, you know, members of the Knesset or whatever, the important balabatim, and the other 67 would be rabbonim. They would decide. So when Rabbi Chaim Yosef Chaim, who's the Rav of Yerushalayim, heard that this was going, he says, don't attend this meeting. If they're going to have balabatim involved in pointing rabbonim, we're not going to go ahead with the meeting, and anybody must keep away from it. So what happened was, there were 33 people of the rabbonim who listened to him and didn't show up, and 34 rabbonim showed up together with the 33 of the members of the community there. So when Rabbi Yosef Chaim heard this, he was told that 34 people didn't listen to you and they decided to go. He said, oh, Zoivi the ego. This is what's going to come out from it. Just as at the ego, there's the longest posuk in the Chumash with 34 words, therefore, and that tree created the ego, this is also going to be like the ego. So he was a bookie in psukim, etc. But that was in words. However, the longest posuk in letters is in Parshas Re'eh, and I haven't seen anybody comment on this, but it's right before the Novi Sheker. The parasha of Novi Sheker is in Re'eh, and that's the longest posuk in letters. So just as we're saying, the longest posuk in words is teaching us that what can come out from too much talk is an ego, so also we find that if you talk too much, it can be a Novi Sheker. You've got to be careful in what comes out of one's mouth. So what I'm trying to illustrate is that there is significance in the number of words, the number of letters, and the number of psukim. At the bottom on the right of the sheet, by the way, was published in Imre Chayin some time ago, which was relevant to the Rambam at the time. He was writing a sefer on the Shiroshim of the Rambam, and the Rambam has 14 Shiroshim. And everybody asks, it doesn't make sense, you don't need 14 Shiroshim. If you look at the Shiroshim of the Rambam, from which he produced the Sefer HaMitzvahs, a few of them could have been encapsulated in one. Why did he do that? And similarly, what's his Mishnah Torah called? Do you know the name of the Mishnah Torah? It's called the Yad HaChazoka. Why Yad HaChazoka? What's the Yad for? What's the point of the Yad? So I once heard from Rabbi Cohen of Flatbush there, he said that the Rambam was supported by his brother, whose name was David. And they did a Yisachar and Zvon, so to speak. And David went and made the money. He went into ships and merchandise, etc. And the Rambam sat and learned. And then all of a sudden, one day, the ship sank in the Far East somewhere, and poor old David passed away, and the Rambam was absolutely broken by this. He was ill as a result of what he'd heard, but anyhow, he decided that he would make a zecher to his brother David, whose David is Gematria 14, and therefore he decided he would use the number 14 in all his Sforim. And that's why we find that he wrote Yad HaChazoka, Yad being 14, and therefore there are 14 parts of the Rambam. And if you look at them, he could have put some of them together. There didn't have to be Davka 14 sections. If you look at the headings of the Rambam, it's a little bit difficult to understand why he divided it up as he did. But with this in mind, we get the point of the significance of the number. And therefore the same thing...
Why didn't he use David, which
is actually... it's a remiss. He couldn't call the sefer David. It doesn't make sense. But in a roundabout way, he made this zecher. So he called that the Yad, and simply in the Shiroshim, he wrote the 14 Shiroshim for the Sefer HaMitzvahs. It could be that there's something similar in the Mura Nevuchim. I haven't checked that out. But there could be, I heard once that there's some similar thing there. The point I'm trying to make is that there's tremendous significance in every single number. Each one has its own point. And if you look at the bottom here, I didn't have time to put all the answers in. There's no reason why you shouldn't do your own homework. At the bottom on the right, the word with the highest gematria in Chumash, we've discussed. That's Tiskoyah. Why is that the highest? Because Kairach was saying, you're such Balei Gaiva. You've taken office and you've gone to the largest extent that you could. So you've gone right to the top. You've gone the whole way. And therefore the Gematria is right at the top. That's the reason for that. And the one in Tanakh we've mentioned just now, Lechatastra. Then you've got the longest posuk in words and letters. We've discussed those two just now. One in Kisiso and one in Re'eh. The longest word in Chumash we've also mentioned, Mishorosecho, and there is the longest word in Tanakh. We've mentioned that. Did we mention the longest word in Tanakh? No, we haven't. What's the longest word in Tanakh? Yes, there are three words in Yecheskel with 11 letters. In Chumash it's 10 letters. There are three letters, and there's one in Megillas Esther as well. And so what's the significance there? It's got to have a significance. The significance there is the bureaucracy in Persia was worse than the bureaucracy in modern countries. I don't know if anyone is trying to immigrate anywhere. The bureaucracy is neither of oyem. But in Persia, in Persia modern, the Achashtarpanim, they were worse than anywhere else. That was the bureaucracy in those places. And that's one of the explanations as to why that is the longest word in Tanakh. Then we talked about the shortest pasuk we've mentioned, Nedon Chushim, and we've talked about in Tanakh there's in fact a shorter pasuk than of Nedon Chushim. It's only 9 letters, and that is the pasuk Shem Chom V'Yofes in Divrei Yomim. I'm not quite sure of the significance of that, unless one can say that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world from a small beginning. Could be, I don't know. There's another interesting thing, which I've mentioned down here because I think it's fascinating. There's one pasuk in Tanakh where every single word follows one letter more than the previous word. That's this pasuk here, right at the bottom. Al gabi choshu choshim herichu lema'an isom. It's in Tehillim, which is said in Baruch Hinafshi in the winter. I'm not yet quite sure of the significance of it. There is a significance, obviously, but first of all, you've got to note what goes on. And this pasuk has Al, two letters, Gabi, three letters, Choshu, four letters, Choshim, five letters, Herichu, six letters, Leman Isom, seven letters. I don't think there's another posse in Tanakh which goes in such a Seder. And there's got to be significance in all these things. Now let's go back now to the beginning. We've got an Aleph Beis. The Aleph Beis has a Kedusha, as we know, well known. The Bnei Sosra quotes it, I think it's from the Zohar. He says that the Pasuk says, Bereshis Bora Elokim Es HaShemayim Ves Oretz. Bereshis Bora Elokim Es. The first thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu created was language. Language is Lashon HaKodesh, Aleph to Tov. Bereshis Bora Elokim Es. The first thing he created was the Aleph to Tov. And that, the Hebrew language, and it's well known that the Shloss says that when the language was spread out after the Mabul, it was Lashon HaKodesh originally, but it was then changed into all other languages. And therefore, you will find Lashon HaKodesh everywhere, even in foreign language. In fact, I heard a beautiful one, just on Parshas Noso. The Parshas Noso is a very famous question. The Pasuk says that the Kohanim, Omer Elohim. Now that's the wrong word. Omer should be Imru Lahem, or Tomru Lahem. Oh, why Omer? Sorry?
I heard this very long.
You heard this?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on. So in French, and in Spanish, and in English, Amor means love. And therefore, where does the Avo go? It's Steinisht Avo in the Chumash. So the Mephoshim learn different ways how you can work out that the Kohenim got to do Ba'avo. If a Kohen is Soine, somebody can't duchen. You can't duchen if you're a Kohen. Now I can see one Kohen here already. If anyone's a Kohen, you must not go to the Duchen if you've got hatred in your heart for somebody in the Kehillah. Because it's got to be Ba'avo, and it's learned out from different ways. But this is a beautiful sort of drush. That when the apostle says, V'omer Rohem, there are other explanations. Omer has got two, it's a gematria 247. So that means the Kohen's got to put all his koiches in, because with the koilil is 248, and that's remach. He's got to put remach evorim into the brocha. He's got to put all his koiches into the brocha. That's part of omor lahem. But this omor, meaning amor, like you said, is we learned from there that this Kohen's got to put ahavo into it. And there are many other things, like totofos. Rashi says, tap ba'afriki. That's the foreign language where we learn from the language of, why? Because, so one of the Mephoshim says, because all language came originally from Lashon HaKodesh. So it's very important to understand that HaKodesh Baruch Hu created language, and before he could create anything, he's got to call it something. You can't create a room if you haven't got a word for it. What you're going to do? You're going to put the thing there, and you're not going to call it anything. HaKodesh had to create the Lashon first. So he created the Aleph Beis, which is Chof Beis Osius, and the five Mansapach, which is 22 ordinary letters and five finals. And these letters have significance. There are basically four different significances in every single letter. The first one is the name of the letter itself. Why is an Aleph called Aleph? It could have been called one, it could have been called anything you like. Why choose the word Aleph? It's got to have a significance. Well, it's very simple. Aleph represents limud, to learn. The Aleph of Yiddishkeit is you must learn. As the Gemara says, Yalfino, that's the same as Aleph. Alfenu Bino is a posuk in Eov. So Aleph means to learn and to teach. That's the very first thing. It also has another meaning, Aluf. What's an Aluf? A chief, a chieftain, a captain. In other words, Aleph is teaching is to, so to speak, the captain of everything. Aleph has got other meanings too, which all fit in with the idea of the importance of the Aleph base and the letter. Secondly, the structure of each letter is vital. We know that the structure of the letter in the Sefer Torah, if you don't write the letter properly, it's possible. And you can't write an Aleph like we write the cursive Aleph. It's got to be written like a Ksav Ashuris. Now, what is the Aleph written like? It's got a Vav and two Yuds. That's what the Aleph is constructed from. That teaches us that the Aleph of Yiddishkeit is Hashem. Hashem, creator eternity. So the Aleph, the 31st letter, reminds us that there's a Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is in the first thing in the universe. So that's the second. Each letter has these factors. We haven't got time to go through all 26 letters, but we've seen the name of the letter, and now we've seen the structure of the letter. The next thing is the position of the letter in the Aleph base. It's not there for nothing. Aleph is one. Why is Aleph one? Because Aleph is the very first and most important thing. So that is what we're going to come to, the idea of the numerology of every letter. And finally, there is what the Nistar. There's always a Nistar. What's the Nistar? The hidden meaning of a letter. That would be the gematria, or some limud we can learn from it. To give just one example, the word Aleph in Nistar comes to a 111. Right? Aleph is 1. Right? Lamed is 30. Pei is 80. It's 111. 1, 1, 1. And we know that anything which has three times is a chazaka, because 3 represents chizuk. Therefore, the 1 is mechuzik, so to speak, by the Aleph. So we've got the inyan of the nistar of the letter Aleph is teaching us lessons as well. And that can go into every single word. What we're going to concentrate on, for the time we've got left, is the position of the letter in the Aleph base. That's the third. Okay, we said 1 is the name, 2 is the structure, 3 is the position, and 4 is the Nistar. We're going to look now at the position of the Aleph. The Aleph is 1. It's the first letter. Why is it the first letter? Well, we've said already, because the Ikkar of our of Yiddishkeit, the Ikkar of the Torah, is Limud. The Ikkar is to learn and to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. Because Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Echad represents unity. And that is got to be the first thing. And that answers another interesting question. Last week's Sedra we had the first parsha which was, of Krishna, but it's the third parsha. Why did Chazal change the order of the parshas? The parshas start verse Chanan is Shema, Ekev is Vayim Shamar, and Shlach is Vayim. It's the wrong way. Why don't we say it the same way as in the Torah? Why are we mixing up the Krishna? Answer. The answer to that is that because Echad has to come first. Shema Yisrael Hashem, the first parasha of Krishna is talking about Yichud Hashem. Without Yichud Hashem, the rest doesn't make any sense. So we have to say the parasha, which was second in the Torah, that's the Shema, first. Then we come to the second parasha, which is in Ekev, which is the Enyan of Puranus, Schar Va'onish, which is the second Yisod. And once we've got those two Yisods clearly in our minds, that there's a Shem in charge, and everything we do is going to have to be Oiske Cheshman, we're going to have to get a reward or punishment, then we can come to Vayim Shema. Now we can keep the mitzvahs as we should. And therefore, the Parsha of Vayoma comes, although it's first in the Torah, it's third in the Parshas of Krishna. And that explains the order of what happens. And just by the way, we're talking about the significance of letters. You may or may not be aware which letters are missing from the parsha of the third parsha. There's 2 letters missing in the first parsha. There's completely everything in the second parsha, including all the finals, are all in the second parsha. But in the third parsha, there are 2 letters missing. Now, we daven twice a day, Krishna. then most people don't even notice and don't realize the Kedusha. There are two letters missing in the third parasha. Anybody know what they are? Most people don't even notice it. In the third parasha of Krishna, you will not find the letter Samach, and you will not find the letter Tes. In the third parasha. In the first parasha, you won't find the letter Samach, and you won't find the letter Gimel. And in the second parasha, you'll find absolutely every letter, including all the finals. Now that's very, very significant. If we go, let's just do the third parasha. The letters missing in the third parasha is no Samach, and there's no Tes. Now the letters have significance. We talked about the significance of the Aleph. The significance of the Samach is the Sitra Achra, the Soto. And that's well known because there's a Medrash Rabbah says there was no Samach in the Torah before the Chet of Chavo. Before the Chet of Chavo, there's no, there is a Samach there, and they all ask on the Medrash what you're talking about. That's another a separate thing. But the Medrash tells us that there was no Samach in the Torah until the Chet, because the Samach his job of the Sotan is to create Chet. It's a bad sort of, you can't have a bad letter, but its function is to test Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, the letter Tes, we know, there was no Tes in the Aseres Hadibros Rishonis. Why? Chas v'sholom poska toivo. They were going to get smashed. And the Moran Baba Kama says there was no Tes in the first Luchas, because if they smashed the letters of the first Luchas, they didn't want the Tes to be smashed, because that Tes would be chas v'sholom poska toivo. Because Tes is, and the Gemara also says, ein toiv ela toiro. So we know that Samach is the extreme of wickedness, and Tes is the extreme of goodness. So why are those two letters missing? I haven't seen this anywhere, but my suggestion is that we should avoid extremism. Jewish people have got to take what the Rambam says is the Shvil Hazov, the middle path. And that applies even when you're doing mitzvahs. The mitzvahs of the tzitzis, or the tariag mitzvahs, tzitzis represents tariag. The tzitzis which we all go around with all day long, they teach us how to behave in life. We've got to keep all the mitzvahs, all the tariag mitzvahs. And yet, the parsha is saying it, but be careful. Don't go to extremism. We do not want extremism in Yiddishkeit. Keep to the middle way. Don't go either, chas v'shalom, to the wrong side, which is the Sotan, but also don't try and be too frum. Don't go to the tests. That's not acceptable. Try to keep the middle path. That's my suggestion. You can ask on it, and I'm sure there will be people. The stone throwers on Shabbos would not be happy with what I'm saying now. I don't think there's any necessity to throw stones on cars on Shabbos. There's a better way of trying to get people to become frum. So that's all right. I leave you to work out why there's no Samach and Gimel in the first parasha. But the second parasha, we said, has got not only all letters, but also the Mount Tzipach. Do you know that it's a very rare thing to have the whole of the alphabet Chof Zionosis? There's only one single pasuk in the whole of Tanakh which has got all the 27 letters. Now, I appreciate this is not just one pasuk, this is a parasha. But it's still, it's not a very large parasha, and there are 26 psukim in Tanakh which have got all the Aleph Beis, but they don't have all the finals. There's a Masorah in Sefer Yecheskel. It tells us, and each one has got a significance. There's two psukim in Chumash, and in Chumash it's very interesting. The Chov Vov Osias occur in Chumash, both in the Parsha of B'Shalach, in the case of the Mon, because all the letters wanted to be involved in giving Klal Yisrael the Mon. They wanted to reward Klal Yisrael. All the letters, everyone wanted to be there. And therefore the whole of the, that is the first part. The second Pasuk is in the Haggadah on Pesach, the Haggadah which takes a Pasuk from it's talking about Ohanisa. When it came to taking Klal Yisrael out of the distant tribe, all the letters wanted to be involved. So that's why there's two psukim in Chumash with all the letters. All the letters wanted to be involved in the Samach and the Tes. Everybody wanted to be involved. And that's also, we find that, for example, in Ashrei, The Gemara says, why is Ashrei, we say it three times a day, and we say it Ben Olam Abo, and so it's one of the reasons because it's got Poseches Yodecha, but the other reason is because it's got the old Aleph base. Why is it got a Nun in the Aleph base of Ashrei? Because after the Mem, we go straight to Soymech Hashem. So the Gemara says, David had wanted to put the Nun for Noiflim, Nefilo, but he realized that it is it's a damaging thing to the chas v'shalom, which all be falling. So he left it out, but he said in the next one, Soymech Hashem l'chol ha'noflim. He said we should protect all the people who would otherwise have fallen. So that we see that the Aleph base is vital to give us all the benefits of life. And Faket and Megillas Eicho, it's the Psukim are all following the Aleph Beis, except one, the Ayin and the Peh mixed up. That's an interesting topic on its own. But the Aleph Beis is all there. Why? Because if Klal Yisrael misbehave, all the Aleph Beis want to come and correct them. They all want to give Oidish, but they'll give Sachar. So in Eicho, we'll find the whole of the Aleph Beis, the 22 Psukim in each chapter. In the first four chapters, they follow the Aleph Beis, with the exception of the Pei and the Ayin, which got mixed up after the first chapter. So, but we're seeing the significance of letters. It's not just stam. There's a message in every single letter. Now, we haven't got time for it, but also the letters represent the number. One of the functions is the number. Like the Aleph is 1, Beis is 2, Gimel is 3. I haven't had time to go through this, but it's actually quite self-explanatory. And you'll see that every single number has its own significance, which is connected with the letter. So the Aleph we've discussed already, and you'll see I've given the reason what this represents, the Aharon Mozim, which I've mentioned here too. But here I come to a chiddush of my own, which I haven't seen. I'm a bit surprised because it's something which it's possible that you can find it in somewhere in writings of the Maharal. He talks in this way. But I haven't actually seen it, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if it would be found in one of the Musa Sforim, that the Aseres Hadibras, each dibur represents the number which it is. So obviously one is obvious, Anuchi Hashem is obvious, that's one is unity. What's Beis? Beis is Olam Hazel, like we have Bereshis, that's why the Chumash starts with the Beis of Bereshis, and that's actually one of the reasons why Gemara always starts with letter Beis. And the true reason why Gemara starts in number Beis is because the printer had a Shablat for Aleph, and therefore Beis was the first Daf. However, nothing happens b'mikra. I've mentioned before, the letters Mikra read Rak Me'Hashem. So when the printer did what he did, he was actually just doing Hashem's bidding. Hashem wanted there to be no Aleph. Why did he want no Aleph? There's many reasons, but one is because the Beis stands for Brocha, Beis stands for Bereshis, Beis stands for Olam Hazeh. There's all sorts of reasons which I can assure you the printers had no idea about. But it came out like that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it like that. So Beis represents Olam Hazeh, and Avodah Zorah is the opposite of the Anuchi Hashem, because you're making shtei reshuyos. You're trying to incorporate other things in Hashem, and that's why Beis is the second commandment. The third commandment is very simple. What is three? We said before, three is a chazakah, right? Shosh pam is chazakah. We know the three times. In many, many places in the Gemara we have three. So three is chazakah. How do you prove a chazakah? You swear! I swear it's like this. That's how you do it. So, lo si shavah lo si meshukah. Don't swear falsely. So the number three represents the Shavuah. Then do it right. It's time now. Okay, I'm not going to go through all the ten. They're there for you to look, those who are interested, and we can work from there. Go to it.